Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, mate. You're right. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Looking forward to tonight's pod. You got everything prepped and ready?
Yeah, mate. I've got my notes, my equipment's all set up. Yeah, so I'm good to go.
Fantastic. You got your drink. You forgot it last time.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? There's a reason for that, though. I've actually run out of beer, so no.
Hello and welcome to Voices of a Vic with me, Ben Ayton. Well, that went to shit, didn't it? I'm trying to play the intro at the start, and yeah, that went perfectly well. So yeah, start as we mean to go on, eh, everyone? But yeah, as I mentioned, welcome to Voices of a Vic. I'm Ben Ayton, and tonight I'm joined by Mike Duffy and Katie Kirkley to discuss Watford's 2-2 draw away at West Bromwich Albion. The Hornets were so close to coming back to Hertfordshire with all 3 points, but were denied by a late Darnell Furlong strike, which spoilt the afternoon for the travelling Hornets in that away end. But Mike, you were there yesterday in that away end, recorded our match day vlog. If you haven't already checked it out, make sure you do. My honest opinion, I think it's Mike's best one to date. Lots of content. He managed to get the hotel room as well. Little Ben Foster dedication match day vlog there. But yeah, how are you doing, Mike? Did you enjoy the day yesterday, considering it was how it turned out in the end?
Yeah, I'd have took a draw at the start of the game. I'd have snapped your hand off for a 0-0, to be honest, and going back with a point against West Brom, because they were going into it with some good form, and especially at home. I think they'd won the last six at home, if I remember correctly. So I'd have absolutely took a point, but in the manner of how that point come about, yeah, it's disappointing. 2-0 up, and yeah, I mean, look, that's why West Brom are where they are, because they're able to do that. And I was with Cam, and he rightly pointed out that, you know, they scored with their first real attack, and teams that are in the playoffs don't need lots of chances. They just take the ones that they get. So, yeah, disappointing to come away with a draw, considering what happens. But I think overall, I'm happy with a point from West Brom.
Yeah, I think going into it, like it's we all said it, didn't we? Against Leeds, we said going into it would have taken a point. Looking back on it, I think it was 2 points dropped against Leeds United. Going into West Brom, before the game kicked off, I would have taken a point. I predicted a draw. Katie was positive of a victory. She was so close. And then missed the negative over there. Mike Duffy said that we were just going to lose. But it, again, 2 points drops again. And I think the players and Cleves would be just a little bit disappointed that slips away in two games, but we're going to dissect it all in a little bit. Katie, you didn't go to the game yesterday, but you managed to watch it. How's your Easter weekend been, and how did you enjoy watching that game yesterday?
Yeah, the Easter weekend's actually been full of football. I feel like I've watched quite a lot over the last couple of days and managed to force the family to watch it yesterday for Easter Monday. And, you know, it was a pretty good game. At least we didn't buy the Hive Live Pass for a 0-0. So, yeah, it's been good. And, you know, like you said, the performances have been good. The football's entertaining, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, that's the thing. At least we're being entertained now. We've waited a bloody long time to be entertained, probably the first game of the season. But we're getting there, slowly but surely. I reckon we'll probably get to the end of the season and we won't want the season to end because it would actually turn out to be a bit enjoyable. But yeah, like I said, Mike was there yesterday. There's his little family portrait with his dad and brother. Lovely day out, Mike. You look like you really enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, no, I did, to be fair. I went down and... Beck was with me, but she didn't come to the game. We stopped in a very, very nice hotel. They had a swimming pool, a gym, a spa. I even used the gym this morning at the hotel, so I thought I'd make use of the facilities. And, yeah, afterwards, went to Marco Pierre White Steakhouse, which was 27 floors up, I think it was. And I might be opening myself here up for a few comments here, but you had the view of the skyline of Birmingham, which Birmingham gets a lot of stick, but it was actually very nice. And then we were the only ones in Pop World last night because it was Easter Monday and everyone had work the next day. So, yeah, it was like we'd rented it out for ourselves when we got in there. We had to wait to get in. But, yeah, and then finished the day today, come back from Birmingham today and... we bought our wedding rings today. So, yeah, another little thing ticked off the list. So it's been a successful weekend. So just even more disappointing that we didn't perhaps come away with the 3 points. But I must say the Baggies fans were very complimentary. There's been a few comments on that match day vlog video already, and I've seen a few things online, and they said that we played very well. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Good stuff. I don't know about you, Katie, but I'd like to know where Mike's getting all this money from. Staying in a hotel last night, Mark Dio White, 27 floors up, the views of Birmingham. I imagine that everyone's going to leave their reviews on this afterwards, Mike. Then did I hear a spa and then wedding rings and then renting out Pop World for you and Beck last night? Like, you know, mate, you're meant to get married soon. Like, you've got to start saving. But yeah, that's enough. Nonsense for a little bit. We'll jump into the team news like we normally do. Tom Cleverley was looking to try and get a victory for Watford at the Hawthorn since 2016, and he made two changes to the team that drew 2-2 at home to Leeds United. Wesley Hoot came in for Matty Pollock, and Ismail Kone came in for Yasser Asprilla. So the starting lineup was Daniel Batman in goal, a back three of Ryan Porteous, Francisco Sirialta, Wesley Hoot, the wing backs being Jamal Lewis and Ryan Andrews, the midfield three, Tom Deddy Bashiru, Ed Okiembi, Ismail Kone, and then up top again, the front two were Emmanuel Dennis and Vakun Bio. Katie, I'll come to you first. What was your thoughts on the starting lineup?
I mean, it's sort of what we were saying on Sunday night when we were talking about who, if we think Hoot's going to come back in, and we all was kind of like mixed opinions. And I knew that he would, even if I thought that it was harsh to drop Pollock. I think that I knew that Hoot would come back in, and, you know, he did a really solid job when he came back on yesterday. So that was good. I think I did also say that I thought Kone would come back in, or maybe I said it was either Kone or Georgie. I thought that they would come in. Obviously, Georgie was ill. So I think, I mean, there's not much memorable stuff about Kone from yesterday. I think it was, you know, a fine, like, good decision to make. I think it was fine. I think one thing I would say is that we were singing praise for Serralta and Lewis Sunday night. And they both dropped absolute stinkers the whole game, especially Serralta. For me, I thought that he was, like, I mean, he nearly gave away a goal in the first half, which was really disappointing from him. And I think, obviously, yeah, people have the off games, but it was just like from what we saw on Sunday night and then what we saw, no, what we saw on Friday to what we saw yesterday, it was a bit disappointing. And I would have been saying, oh, well, maybe if Pollock had played, maybe it would have been different. So, yeah, I think the team was fine. And I think that maybe people were just having some off days.
Yeah, I think we jinxed it, didn't we, really? Singing the praises of those two people. Mike, what was your thoughts on the starting lineup? What was the word in amongst the stands when the team news was announced at 2 o'clock?
I think it was more a surprise that Aspria had been the man to make way and Kone had come in, because Kone didn't exactly set the world alight when he came on Friday night against Leeds. So, and I mean, he did all right, but again, didn't set the world alight. It's weird with Kone. He blows hot and cold, and then you'll bring him off from the bench, and he'll be like, "Wow, okay, we need to start him next game." You give him that start, and he's like, "Okay." So a few sort of meh performances back to back. Not his worst, but definitely not his best. I disagree slightly there about Sierra. I thought he was solid enough. Yes. He almost gave away a goal early doors. Believe me, that was the last thing we wanted. And to be honest, when he went through one-on-one, I can't remember. I think it was it that Sante that went through? And Backman did really well to come out and make the save. And then I think Porteous got rid of it in the end. So, you know, not an ideal start. But other than that, I think he had a fairly solid game. Lewis went from dropping an absolute prime left-back performance against Leeds. And then, yes, he got an assist for the second goal, but other than that, he wasn't that good. So many times in that first half, he'd just get forward, get in to the right positions, but then he'd make the wrong pass in the final third. And it's like, you've done the hard bit. All you need to do now is pass it across goal, like he did for Rajovic's goal. But too many times he made the wrong pass and he went backwards, or he just couldn't pick his man out. And then the second half, and I'm not sure if this was to do with confidence because he picked so many wrong passes, but second half, even after the assist for Rajovic, he'd come forward and we'd think, right, yeah, we've got so much space on the wings as we did yesterday. And you'd think, brilliant, all you've got to do is run your man. You've had the beating of him 9 times out of 10. And he'd seem a bit hesitant and he'd go back and we'd start again. And so, yeah, quite disappointing from Lewis, especially after what we saw on Friday. I think Friday was by far his best performance, up there with his first half against Coventry a few weeks back. But I was quite disappointed with his overall performance yesterday. So, yeah, but other than that, I think just surprised that Aspria was the man to make way, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit more in details on the other players in a bit, talking about the game. But Katie, against Leeds United, it was a fast stop. We was on the front foot straight away. A little bit different here against West Brom. Slow start, I thought. And like Mike mentioned there already, 10 minutes in, Siri Elta dwelling on a ball on the edge of his penalty box. Brandon Thomas Asante, he was quick to get the ball off him, and it was a smart save from Daniel Batman, and then a follow-up block from Ryan Porteous to stop us from falling behind early doors. But it was a different contrast of the game, wasn't it, really, with what we saw against Leeds?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm not even sure if we chose to come out like that. I think West Brom really came out fighting for that. Like, they were hitting us with everything, and then we were sort of, they had the pressure on us the whole first like 25 minutes. We couldn't even sort of get hold of the ball. They had a lot of chances, and when they're putting that pressure on, that's when, you know, Serrata's gonna make a mistake like that. Obviously, yeah, sometimes that stuff happens, and we dealt with it in the right way, and it's a really good defending from Porteous and a good save from Blackman. And, you know, luckily he did not do well with that, the effort that he had. So we were saved there, and I think it just took us a bit longer to get into the game than we did the Leeds game. And there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, if we had gone a goal down then, it would have been a different story. So you never really know. But I think we did when we settled into the game, it was a lot better, but it just took a bit longer.
Yeah, I think West Brom surprised us a little bit by how aggressive they started. Like, unsettled us straight away. But took maybe about 15 minutes into the game, like an extra 5 minutes for us to settle. We found our shape and we looked comfortable after that. And then it was, nothing really happened in that first half, really, Mike, did it? Other than maybe Watford trying to get Furlong in the referee's book or even sent off, because there was a few times that Furlong was like pushing or leading him with an arm, and Watford fans players didn't really like it. Emmanuel Dennis particularly didn't like it, and he ended up getting a yellow card off the back of that. But a bit of a nothing first half, but you would take that away to West Brom, wouldn't you? Like, going half time 0-0.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I thought the ref was quite inconsistent yesterday. Gavin Ward's someone that Watford fans are very familiar with. We've had him a fair few times, and you know,
fifth time.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, we're quite familiar with him, and to be fair, our record with him isn't, you know, horrendous. So not that that should matter really, but I thought he was quite inconsistent for both teams yesterday. He let a lot go, which I don't mind the referee doing, but some of the stuff he let go, I'm not just talking for Watford, was ridiculous. Mm. So yeah, not a great game by Gavin Moore by any stretch, but yeah, not overall much to report in that first half. I think, yes, West Brom started the better, and they would, you know, they've won the last six at home or however many it is. They're in the playoffs. They're sort of comfortable in the playoffs at the moment. And I've just seen Gareth's comment then. I cannot believe he's asked that question. Did Mike do the vlog? Get on YouTube, Gareth, and answer that question yourself. But yeah, no, they started the better, as we'd expect. But I think we more than sort of got into the game the last sort of 10 or so minutes of the second half. We probably didn't want the half-time whistle to come, to be honest, because I thought we went into that break the strongest, and we were sort of making them work a little bit. But going into the break at half-time 0-0, I was more than happy, and I saw a lad that I went to school with in the concourse at half-time, and he was like, God, this is boring, isn't it? I was like, mate, I says, do you know what, though? I'll take another second half of that. I said, I will take a 0-0 away at West Brom. So yeah, I was happy, and then what a start to the second half, eh?
It was a fantastic start to the second half. I think it was 6 minutes in, wasn't it? Until 6 minutes into the second half when Watford actually took the lead, and it was because Mike did a matchday vlog. I can show us the Edo Kiembe goal actually, so we can actually analyze it.
You've not stolen this from Isaac Watford fan on TikTok, have you?
No, I haven't. But if I was Isaac Hayden, I would love for him to credit the voices of Vic when he takes people's videos. I think it's a few times it's happened this season, but we're not sour about it. But yeah, cheers for that, Isaac. Going forward, if you don't mind letting us know, that'd be much appreciated. But yeah, Mike got a lovely video. Second time he's caught a goal this season. It was the Rotherham goal. Who scored that Rotherham goal, Mike, again?
Asprey, and it was pretty much a
car. Yeah, quite similar, wasn't it? Yeah, so yeah, there's Mike's capturing the Edo Kiembe goal from the corner. But yeah,
Mike in front of me was loving it, by the way.
Yeah, I heard your you talking when the corner was just about to go in as well.
Yeah.
You was like saying, you was joking that you was going to take that little kid's footage instead. So maybe that is Isaac, and he was getting his own back on you.
Maybe he, that is Isaac, and his view is the same as mine. And
It's not because I thought that. I thought that, but you see him in the clip that he used.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true, actually.
So he's used the clip that shows him, if that is him. So
maybe he's just playing mind games.
Yeah. Wanker.
It's a copyright yourself.
But yeah, it was a fantastic strike from Edo Kiembe. Katie, what did you make of that when that went in?
Yeah, I mean, it's what he does, doesn't he? He can sort of do nothing for four games or however many long, and then he scores goals like that. He's done it a couple of times this season now, and that's what he can do. And when you have that type of threat in midfield, it really helps you. I think one thing that I've said I think I've said on the pod loads of times this season, is yes, we do rely on our forward players to score, but we have seen our defenders, our midfielders and our attackers all score goals. And yes, okay, maybe, yeah, there's an element of luck in that goal and one other time that isn't going in, but I really think that he can do something like that, and we've seen it. He's done it before. So I think it's a great goal, and I think it was deserved. I think coming out after half time and scoring only 6 minutes later, you know, it sets the pace for the rest of the game, and you know, we didn't put us take our foot off the gas.
No, we certainly didn't. And Mike, Ed Okiyembi's fifth goal of the season. Last season he didn't score once. He's really added to his game this season, hasn't he? And he's became a player that Watford have heavily relied on. He picks up great areas outside the box, and I think possibly all his goals have came from outside the box this season.
I think you might be right, other than maybe wasn't Rotherham in the box, I think, but he turned and shot and it was quite powerful. That was his first goal, it was just maybe inside. Yeah, but listen, I think Cam's mentioned this before, but he's the best ball striking player. Maybe him or Dennis, but he's the best ball striking player that we've got. And my word, he can hit a ball. And since he's come back from AFCON now, he's not been the same player that he was before. And, you know, there was a lot of praise because last season he was horrendous. And then he was being played this season and people were like, really? We're going down this route again? Rob Edwards didn't play him in the right position. And then, you know, he's been doing brilliantly. Went to AFCON, got injured, unfortunately. Come back and not really been the same. But he pulled that out the locker. And I think that will only help his confidence going forward. I think they said that was his first goal. I should really make a note of this.
It's his first goal since Plymouth Argyle on New Year's Day.
There we go. So it's his first goal in 3 months. It was 3 months to the day, actually, because yesterday was the first. So he needs that, I think, and that will help with his confidence. And hopefully we can see the Ed Okoyembe of pre-AFCON, because he was one hell of a player. And I know he didn't have a great game against Leeds on Friday, but let's not forget, if it wasn't for him winning the ball back in midfield, we wouldn't have scored that first goal. So, delighted for Edo. Thought he did well yesterday. A couple of times he was sort of caught dilly-dallying on the ball a little bit longer than he should have and not picking the right pass. But I think a few were guilty of that. But, yeah, happy for Edo and what a strike. And like I think I said in the vlog, it was pretty much a carbon copy of Aspria's goal against Rotherham. It was just the other end of the net that it was put in. So, yeah, and believe me, I was saying to you guys before we come live, a lot of people said that Birmingham away was one of the best away atmospheres I've heard in a while. Now, I was there, and I don't think it was amazing. It didn't stand out for me, but I've seen a few vlogs from West Brom fans, and my word, we sound loud. The atmosphere really was buzzing in that away and yesterday when we'd scored those two goals. So not only has cleverly sort of brought a bit of excitement, I think everyone's behind him because of who he is. And yeah, like you said not long ago, Ben, you almost don't want the season to end because we're enjoying it so much with Clevs.
This is it. And those noise levels you created in the away, and not yourself personally, everyone collectively, but it did come across really loud on the TV. So, yeah, credit to everyone there. I think it was about 1,500 Hornets up in West Bromwich yesterday. So fair play to every single one of you. Katie, not so long after Watford took the lead, cleverly made a double substitution, which I really thought was a positive move as well. It was Kone and Bio came off, and Aspria and Rajovic came on. What was your thoughts on the double substitutions? I imagine many Watford fans, and Mike will probably back me up on this, maybe a few grumblings when Rajovic entered the field in the away end. Were you feeling quite similar with that approach, going, why are we bringing Rajovic on so early?
Yeah, I think, I thought that the sub was sort of, it was needed, just because, you know, playing on Friday, it's probably just a rotational thing, give them a bit more time. Obviously, everyone has the same reaction where Rajovic comes on, you think, oh, great. I mean, I did it even when he came on at Leeds. and he came on for like 3 minutes or something, and I was like, great, we're going to throw the game away because he's come on. So I think, you know, there is this sort of like damper when he does come on. But, you know, he did what he does best. He was in the right place at the right time and he gets the goal. And I think that that is what he does, and that is where he can score the goals.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Mike, your thoughts on the double substitution? Was it kind of needed? Bio maybe ran out of legs a little bit and he just wanted to try something a little bit different. I guess the main thing was Watford was 1-0 up when they maybe threw Rajovic onto the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, the frustrating thing is we've got no one else to come on for Bio. Like, it has to be Rajovic. The only other thing you could maybe try and squeeze a sprayer up top with Dennis, but would that really work for me? Probably not. But yeah, you're right. There was collective groans and a bit of laughter a couple of times when Rajovic went to try and win the ball and knock it on and it didn't work. And I think one of his first involvements, he gave the ball away and there was a few chuckles and that. And you do feel sorry for him because at the end of the day, the bloke's wearing a Watford shirt and every time he does something stupid, you know, our fans are laughing at him and you do feel sorry for the bloke. And especially seeing Cleverley's comments recently or after the game yesterday saying that he has to drag him off the training pitch and, he's trying his hardest. Yeah, he might not be the most technically gifted footballer and he might throw in a few pants performances pretty much every week. But if he's trying his absolute hardest and he's working behind the scenes, then fair play to him because that is all we can ask for. If he's not good enough, he knows he's not good enough, but he's trying to do something about it. So, I will never, ever, you know, have a go at anyone for trying the hardest. It's like, yeah, it's just, it puts it into context a little bit. And then to see him score yesterday, and let's not forget as well, he's got 11 goals this season for us. Yeah. So, you know, I'm delighted for him. But yeah, when he come on, my dad actually, he knew a couple of people in the West Brom end and he texted them saying, you wait till you see this number nine. And then when he come on, I said to him, I says, have you let your mate know that he's come on yet? And he was like, yeah, just told him. And I says, do you know what though? I said to Cam and my dad, I says, I wonder what the odds are on him to score. And they both said, save your money, don't do it. And then as soon as he scored, I said to him, I says, I told you he was going to score. So it would have been quite interesting what the odds were when he did come on to when he was scoring. But hey, again, Ben, that is your typical Rajovic goal. He, right place, right time, and half the battle as a striker, any professional striker will tell you, half the battle is being in the right position at the right time. So, yeah, I must say, going off what I've just said, I am delighted for him. And who knows, maybe if he gets given this opportunities in the coming games, maybe he might add to his tally. Who knows?
Well, you had a bold prediction at the end of the
last... Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to mention that.
By saying that you thought Bio could maybe end up being top goal scorer after his goal last week against Leeds. Now, Rajovic has scored to make his tally 11. Do you still stand by that, Mike? Do you think Bio could maybe still be top goal scorer, or is it in the bag for the Big Dane?
Look, I think because he scored, and this isn't me trying to easy way out, but because he scored, I think Rajovic will just nab it. So, yeah, I think I'll go back on what I said. I know I should stick to my guns, but I just think he might give him a few more minutes now. And you look at, you know, who we've got coming up. I don't know if Bio is going to score many, to be honest. So it might be a case of Bio just doesn't score again this season. So,
yeah, no, I'm over the moon for him as well. Okay, he sometimes looks like he's won a competition at times. But like you've pointed out, Mike, he just gets into the right areas at the right time. Andrew French put out a little graphic earlier of where he scores his goals, and it's literally in that 6-yard box. That anything in there is bread and butter for him. Even did it in Norwich away, which was his last goal for Watford in the 4-2 defeat. I think it was like the 13th of February. I only know that because I bloody drove all the way there to see us lose. fair play to him. Clev speaks very highly of him as well. I don't know if you both saw the quotes afterwards. I'm just going to read them out now. So Tom Cleverley after the game was asked about Rajovic, and he said, "I've been really impressed with Miles since I've came in, really impressed. He's had me and my staff after 2 or 3 days raising our eyebrows because he's definitely got something to add and wants to stay behind every day to make himself better. You've got to rip him off the training ground. If someone wants to improve themselves and play for the club with a heart like he does, he'll do for me. And you know what? He'll do for me too. And I think we can all echo that. That's the kind of people we want playing for our club. People who are prepared to put the extra hours in behind the scenes to try and improve himself. I think all he needs to do is just bulk up a little bit. And Troy alluded to this on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. He just needs to maybe bulk up a little bit and rough up the defenders a lot more than what he does at the moment, because he knows how to find the back of the net.
I think the only worry I have is if he bulks up, Rajovic is quite slow as it is. And he turns like a cruise ship. But if he bulks up, that's only going to make him slower. Like, Troy is, for most of his career, I think maybe you could discount the promotion season from the Championship where he had a bit of pace about him, but he was still quite bulky. For the majority of his Watford career, he was just a big bulldozer-type unit, a bit like Colton Morris is at the moment for Luton. Sorry to mention that team on here, but... If he bulks up, I just worry that it might slow him down and then sort of put him at a disadvantage even more. So that's my only worry. But yes, it would help him with his physicality, trying to win the ball in the air, trying to keep hold of the ball and help us get up the pitch by holding the ball up. But I don't know whether bulking up would make sense for Rajovic.
Got lots watching tonight, so thank you very much for everyone watching and all the comments as well. Uncle Ron makes a good point here. Rajovic is raw, he's new to this league, with a little strike parter with him would do very well next season. I'd want him to stick around next season. I know there's been lots of people before his goal yesterday going, I don't want him here next season. But like what we've heard from Tom Cleverley in his interview, and he's got 11 goals in his debut in England as well. Like, there's something there. And that's what Uncle Ron said about too. Uncle Ron's going to love this next little bit as well. I think that's why he's sticking around. It's the West Brom goal though. They got a goal back and it was Brandon Thomas Asante. I personally thought that Ryan Porteous should have got a bit closer to him. I thought he ran away from Ryan Porteous with a bit too ease, and then Porteous tried to recover and that's where he threw his body in to try and get a block. But Katie, Daniel Batman has to be saving that. That's at his near post. And this picture here is really good to look at, to be fair, to be critical on Daniel Batman for this one, because it's quite at an easy height and he's been beaten there. I don't know whether he's just been beaten by pace or I'm not too sure. What's your thoughts on the goal that we conceded there?
I think the thing with Batman is he can save, like, really tricky things to save where you'd think, oh, he's going to let that in. But when he has to save, like, the easiest thing, like, he can't. And I think he should take... I mean, yes, you can argue Porteous should do better, but I think, you know, the goal wasn't even... It almost went in slow motion when you actually watch it and you think, how are you not saving that? Like, I don't want to sit here and bash and bash and bash and bash, but... You should be saving that. It's at your near post. It was like, it was quite a tight angle for him to even score from there. And Backman should be reading that. He should be doing better. But, you know, he made a great save in the first half, which kept us in it. And he's made other good saves as well. So he's so inconsistent with his saves. So I think he deserves criticism for that goal. Yeah. But overall, obviously, when he concedes a goal like that, that's all you think about. However, I don't want to be like, oh, he cost us the game, but like he kind of did. Like, you're letting in goals like that, you know, and that's why I always feel like even in the Leeds game, the goals that they were scoring were like screamers, or like it wasn't like a team effort, team goal where they just, man, it was all clumsy goals or a bit of luck. And I think, you know, Backman, I think he definitely could have saved that one.
I just think it was such against the run of play as well. Watford were comfortable. They were coasting at 2-0. We could have maybe made it 3-0 as well. I think just before the Rajovic goal as well, Mike, we had the Tom Delibashiru long-range effort, which stung the hands of Palmer. The ball stayed in play and Emmanuel Dennis then hit the post. So yeah, we could have maybe been 3-0 up at that point, and it's just not Watford taking their chances. But against the run of play, like, I was watching at home and I was surprised it went in. I was surprised he was beaten at that distance and at his near post. What was your thoughts in the away end?
I mean, look, it's always tough to tell when you're in the ground and it's the other end of the game, the other end of the pitch for you. I mean, I hate it when we're shooting the other end to us because my eyesight's terrible now. But I mean, it was hard to tell it was at his near post in the ground from where I was sat. But knowing that it was near post, no goalkeeper at any, well, maybe Sunday League, you can let them off, but no professional goalkeeper should be getting beaten at his near post. You know, I remember Hamer getting beaten at his near post against Blackburn. I was at that game and, you know, he didn't get off lightly as Backman wouldn't have, and Backman hasn't tonight as well. I'm not sure on the people saying that he's at fault for the second. I think you've got to be looking at Martins and Lewis, because if you watch Darnell Furlong, just before he hits the ball, not only does he take the ball in and fumble it and almost lose it, he then has time to recover, get into position to strike the ball. All in this time, Lewis has just stood off him, watching him. And all he's got to do is close him down. It doesn't matter whether Furlong makes another pass to his left, his right, puts a cross in, doesn't matter. If he gets closed down before that ball can be struck, that doesn't go in my personal opinion. Now, there were people saying that Backman got a hand on it. If he did, fair play, because he hit it really, really well. Like that I could see. And I'll be honest, when it left his boot, I thought it was going wide, but I think it hit the inside of the post and then went in. But I'm not having Backman to be blamed for that one, because it was a great strike, unfortunately. And Lewis, having watched it back on the replay, Lewis needs to close him down. So for me, the blame lies at the feet of Lewis for the second goal. But it's a sucker punch, any, you know? A bit like the Leeds game, we concede late on. And I suppose it goes to show why the teams, Leeds and West Brom, are in the position that they're in. You don't necessarily have to have lots and lots of chances. But unlike us, we seem to be the opposite. You give them a small amount of chances and they take them. You mentioned there a minute ago, Ben, Dennis hit the post. Delibashiru tested Alex Palmer as well. And you know, you give those opportunities to another team, like your Leeds, like your West Brom, your Ipswiches, they take them. We don't. That's one thing we've said time and time again on this podcast, is in the final third, we have struggled. So, unfortunately for us, we come away with a 2-2. If we're a bit more sharp in that box, then we come away with a comfortable win. And who knows where we are in the table this season if we more composed in the final third. But yeah, just to go back on your original question, Lewis to blame for that second goal, not Backman.
Yeah, sorry, I was smirking just then. It's just when you was reeling off the chances, the one that came to me, I don't know if you saw this, Katie, when you was watching at home, Edo Kiembe's shot from distance ended up hitting a copper in the stand.
Is that who it is?
You know, the one that went really high into the stand, it hit a copper.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
He didn't have his shooting boots for that one. That was after his goal as well. But yeah, I'll same with you here, Mike. I thought Lewis, he got into really good areas again yesterday, and he must be afraid or got a phobia about crossing it first time, because he got into so many good areas that he wouldn't put it into the box. But also, what it let him down yesterday was not closing down Furlong to try and put him under pressure. So he wasn't able to get that shot away. But also, Mateus Martins, I think that's the worst I've seen him play this season. I thought, terrible cameo from him. And you can maybe see why he's not getting minutes lately. Start of the season, he was probably our best player when he was scoring these goals. And it's completely reversed. And I don't know whether it's down to confidence. I know he had personal issues going on earlier on in the season as well. So that might have taken account on maybe his form as well. But really disappointed with him yesterday. But talking, like, again, I mentioned it on the last podcast. Game changes when Emmanuel Dennis exits the field. We were 2-0 up and then we concede two goals. And that's because we haven't got anyone up top leading the press, which then makes West Brom make that extra couple of passes. They might even pass it back to Palmer as well. We haven't got that. You've got Rajovic on the field who's standing off and we're not doing that press anymore. And it's just changed the game. Like, Katie, we haven't got, because of how Val wanted to operate in January, he didn't want to bring in extra players just for the sake of it. He wanted certain players that ticked his wish list. But I think it's really damaging for Watford, especially in his last two games, because we've got no squad depth. And we haven't got any decent quality players coming off the bench to help out. And I put that down to why we've probably conceded these late goals in the last two games against good opposition in Leeds and West Brom.
I mean, I completely agree. I think Dennis is such a game changer. And I put out a tweet earlier today that was like, what would you do with Dennis in the summer? And personally, I would keep him because of how he genuinely changes the game. And when you watch him with, we saw it with him and Bale on Friday. You also see it with him and Rajovic on Friday, on Monday. He gives them the service that they need to look good. He makes them look good. That ball through to Rajovic, was it even from Dennis? I can't even remember. I don't think it was.
For his goal?
Yeah.
No, Lewis put that in.
Well, okay. We'll take away Rajovic. But you see him and his partnership with Bale on Friday was excellent. He looked like a new player. And he helps him and he helps Bayern Rajovic look better and do better because they don't have to do as much work because Dennis kind of does the hard bit and then they are in the right place at the right time. They've got good service coming through and they're going to be able to, Rajovic will be able to stand in the box and get that ball straight on him and he can finish it. That's how he plays. And then as soon as Dennis goes off, you see them completely drop off. They don't really know where they are. They're not sure what they're doing. They look sort of out of place up front. And I think it just has, we've seen Dennis in whenever he was here last and now, and we are now seeing him at his best and he's still not even fully fit. He's still got slight injury or whatever. You know, he's not playing the full 90. And he is still the best player on that pitch. The press, the attack that he leads as a player is better than anyone in that squad. And I think he holds the ball up in the attack more than when he goes off. when he goes off, we suddenly lose all that threat up front, which is disappointing. And then we end up having to sort of deal with it at the back and deal with it in midfield. But Dennis is a scary player to come up against. He puts pressure under all those defence, all those goalkeepers. He is constantly running. He doesn't stop. People claim he's selfish. He's this, he's that. I don't think that. I don't see any of that when he plays. I think, yeah, sometimes he is a bit, he's going to have a strike at goal, but he should because he can score those. You know, when someone like Martins does it, you think, oh, Jesus Christ, like, you're not going to score. You haven't scored. You're out of form. Don't do that. But when he does it, I think, yes, have a go if you can. But he also isn't selfish and can, you know, supply other players. And I just think when you take him off, you watch, like, every single player goes to a complete disadvantage. Like, we look like a different team when he isn't playing.
No, I totally agree. And that's why I've mentioned it the last two podcasts, because we do look totally different. We haven't got that firepower. We haven't got that player who strikes fear in the opposition. And like you say, it's quite scary that he's not fully fit and he's operating at this standard. Like Uncle Ron said as well, he's playing against doctor's orders, but he really wants to do well for Watford and he should get a lot of credit, and I think Watford fans really appreciate him. Mike, going off Katie's poll that she put on Twitter earlier, what would you do with Emmanuel Dennis this summer? Obviously, he's a Nottingham Forest player. He'll be going back at the end of the season. Would you obviously like him back next season? Would you like to try and sign him permanently if the price is right? Or would you try and get him back on the loan? Or would you like maybe just look down a different avenue and maybe look for a new player to come in?
No, of course. Look, I'd love Emmanuel Dennis to sign permanently, but it's whether Forest are willing to let that happen. I mean, as it stands, they're 2-0 up. So do they need him for the goals? Probably not. That's good news, by the way, because that means that the team from down the road are firmly in the bottom three, 3 points adrift. But I know a few Forest fans, obviously living in Nottingham for a bit, and they do not rate him whatsoever. So can I see him going back next season and playing, you know, being their main striker? Absolutely not. My worry is, knowing what the Forest owners like, he paid, I think I worked it out earlier, I think it was 12.76 million they paid Watford for Emmanuel Dennis. There's no way on this earth that their owner's going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, we messed up on that one. We'll let him go for a real small cut price. So, but he might have to sort of lose money on him and a fair bit to get rid of him, because I think a few people have made this point on Twitter. There's hardly going to be teams queuing up at the door for him, because he didn't do great at Turkey. He's done well for us, for our standards, but not well enough that a Premier League team's going to come along and be like, yeah, we'll have him. Okay, sound. He's close to that 12 million you paid Watford for him. So, you know, he might be, then to caveat my point, the Forest might be in a position where only Watford are coming forward and saying, look, let's do a bit of a deal. And that way we can have him. But absolutely, if the chance is there, we have to take it to sign him. My worry is, if Pozzo is going to continue to not put money into the club in terms of buying players, because look, we made some good money from selling Saar and Pedro, and we hardly saw any of it, if any, reinvested. So what makes anyone think that we're going to reinvest this summer? Unless he sells a club, then I can't see him reinvesting the money. It is the sad truth. But absolutely, if we have the opportunity, we should be doing everything within our power to make sure that Emmanuel Dennis is a Watford player next season, whether it's on loan again or whether it's permanently, because he wants to be here. He loves it at Watford. And there's always going to be those rumours, he's a bad egg behind the scenes. I don't think he is, you know. I really don't think he is. And I tell you for why, I don't think Tom Cleverley would play him if he was a bad egg. So, I would make sure that he stays next season.
No, definitely. I'm in the same camp as both of you. I love him. I think he's by far our best player. And that's even with Yasser Asprilla as well, who's raw. It's like Yasser's obviously got bigger potential than Emmanuel Dennis, but at the moment, Emmanuel Dennis is by far our best player. I think Luan said it as well when the rumours of Dennis coming back, and he said there was an exciting signing coming back, and he was like, this signing, he's instantly going to be our best player. It just turns out that he is. I don't think we'll probably have a transfer fee available to maybe sign him on a permanent, but I wouldn't rule out maybe a loan fee to get him back on loan for next season. Forest will want him off their wage bill. He's on a ridiculous amount of money. He'll want to come to Watford on a low amount again. So it's just Gino trying to organise a loan fee, which I think is doable. So hopefully he can negotiate that, but I don't think it would be something that would happen instantly in the summer. It'll probably go on until like the last couple of days of the transfer window, which we tend to see when clubs are trying to get the best price for their players and that. But yeah, it's he has to come back next season. This is his club, and he's only played 50 games for Watford, which is surprisingly as well. That was his 50th appearance for Watford yesterday against West Brom. And you think that he's been at the club for a season and a bit, maybe two seasons and a bit, but he's only done 50 appearances. So hopefully there's many more to come in a yellow shirt. What I want to get your thoughts on now, obviously 2 points dropped yesterday against West Brom, really, but encouraging signs, Katie, against Leeds and West Brom, both fighting for promotion. We stood tall and competed. That's all I want from my Watford team. Same as you, probably. You want to compete. You want it to be entertaining. Tick, tick in those last two games. How would you assess how Tom Cleverley's getting on so far in his first three games? He's unbeaten, obviously. Two draws and a victory. How's he got on for you?
Yeah, he's proved me wrong. I didn't expect him to come in and be like this. I think the best thing that he has is, like, he's actually tactically good. Like, he has good tactics. It's not like, oh, he's just, you know, oh, he's lifted the spirits of the players and they're just doing slightly better. No, like, we actually go into games with game plans. Like, you actually see that on the pitch. Mm. And, like, you know, I think Luan's has said he tactically outclassed, like, Leeds and West Brom and stuff. Like, that's tough to do with him. And he hasn't got a lot of experience. He deserves all the credit. And I even think, even if we go on and win and lose all of our next games, I still think, actually, for what he did, like, he's done a great job. And Ryan Andrews did a interview. I can't remember what game it was after. I think it might have been yesterday. And he said, you know, Cleverley's just said we want to give the fans a good performance to end the season on a high, and that's what they're doing. Like, yes, it's disappointing to lose a 2-0 lead, but it doesn't matter about the points we're getting. Like, if you take away the goals, like, we would have won the game. And I know that's not how it works, but I do think the way we're playing is so much better. Like, think about a couple months ago under Val, when we were literally, like, sat here, like, oh my God, like, this is the most boring football I've ever watched. It's not working. It's not entertaining. But we're scoring goals. We're actually playing well, not just having these lucky chances. I would say in the Leeds game and the West Brom game, we should have won. We dominated. We were the better side. That's not something that you can just come up with overnight. Like, that takes work. And I think Cleverley being only in the squad recently helps him have a connection to the players. The players care about him, like, they're friends. They want to do well for him. They want to win for him. And also, Cleverley cares about the club. Like, he doesn't want us to lose games. It's obvious that he cares really deeply about it. So he would want us to do as well as we could. So I think, you know, even if you take away the results, he is unbeaten and he's got the team playing so good. You know, I'm still umming and ahhing if I would give it to him next season. I think we have to kind of see how it goes, and if there was a promise in the summer that they would back him and do what he needs, then maybe. But, you know, what are the goals for next season? We don't know. We don't know. So I think overall, I would say he's doing a fantastic job. And like you said, all he's got is just us enjoying football. And we've only got a couple games left, and I'm happy with how he's doing.
No, definitely. And I missed the first 5 minutes of the game because I was out with my daughter and that. But I luckily put on TalkSport and they had the live coverage of the West Brom Watford game. So I could listen to it on the radio. And just before they kicked off, Adrian Durrow, the host, was talking about Tom Cleverley. And he said that he was asked, are the players, because you had them last season as teammates, are they addressing you as Gaffer? And he said, no, I've asked them all to call me Tom and Clevs, which is different, isn't it? Normally, you'd want to build that level up, wouldn't you? And you'd be like, no, I'm Gaffer now. But he just wants to be treated like everyone else, really, doesn't he? I really like that. And that interview he had after a game last night, I put out on my personal Twitter. I just love him. Like, he ticks all the boxes for me. He's got the right mentality. He was asked about maybe going into the games against Leeds and West Brom, would you have taken a point beforehand? And he said, no, not really. I wouldn't want that. And that might be down to me. I would have wanted more from my team, and I want to compete. And I was like, yes, you're saying absolutely everything, but I want to hear from my head coach. And that's going to transition across to the players. And we've seen them in the performances in the last two games. The performance levels are completely different than what we saw under Val. Completely different. Like, there's no similarities to any other performance we've put in this season. Even that 4-0 QPR performance we saw at the start of the season, that was against a poor opposition. Like, Gareth Ainsworth must, I don't know how he's got a job in football. Absolutely atrocious. Like, he's done so well. Mike, what have you made of Tom Cleverley so far, and how would you sum up the Easter period for Watford?
On paper, the Easter period I think has been good, but and performance wise I think it has as well, but obviously disappointing. And I think I said in the match day vlog, actually, I said that the fact that we're sat here and we're disappointed with a point against West Brom and a point against Leeds sort of says how Cleves has come in and done. Because if you said when we've been playing absolutely diabolically under Val the last couple of games before his exit, oh, by the way, in a couple of weeks, you've got Leeds who are gunning for top, and you've got West Brom who are going to firmly cement their place in the playoffs. How do you think you're going to do? Would you take a point? I'd have been like, yes, I will absolutely take a point. So, yeah, I think Cleves has come in and he's gone back to basics. And sometimes that is all you need to do. I think I said my piece on it last time about when Neil Warnock went into a club and went back to basics. And sometimes that's all you need to do. Now, Cleves, as I think in sort of certainly the first half against Leeds, and then maybe you could say the majority or large spells of the West Brom games, he's out-coached Daniel Farke and Carlos Corberan, which, considering he was only managing a youth football a matter of weeks ago, shows what he's got. But he's from the class of Manchester United, isn't he? So he'll have been brought up the right way, and no doubt Fergie's been on the phone, and no doubt he's got a lot of contacts in the game as well. So, you know, he's someone that wants the best for the club, and I'm all for it. And as long as we stuck with him, which there's no guarantee of that happening because A, it's football, and B, it's Watford, I would absolutely take him for next season. But my biggest worry is the Pozzos just binning him off, because that would absolutely kill me if they got rid of Cleves like they've got rid of the last 20-odd managers, because Cleves doesn't deserve it. Even if he went through a terrible spell, he just doesn't deserve it. And I didn't really want to make this comparison, but I worry that maybe we're in that honeymoon period, a bit like sticking with Manchester United when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer first went in at Manchester United, and they did superbly. And I think they got quite far in the Champions League. They won away at PSG and everything was rosy. I think they finished second in the Premier League, and then he was given it on a full-time basis and it went to absolute pot. So that is my worry, is that at the moment we're in a bit of a honeymoon period, the pressure's off, we're not going down, we're not going up, and, you know, the shackles are off, and things must have been bad under Val, because the players look like they're playing with a bit more freedom now. So, but I would keep him next season.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that at the moment. I've got nothing bad to say about it, really. I think he's done a really good job. The only thing I will say is I'm not too sure how it might end for Tom Cleverley. I think if he doesn't get the job full time, I don't think he'll want to maybe drop back down to the level that he was, because I think he might get the bug for it, and he might want to go out and manage clubs. But maybe when he picked up experience, he might come back one day. Because I'm the same as you. I don't want him to be shat on by Gino Pozzo. And it will happen, because that's how he operates. But he's had a fantastic start to Football Management. And credit where credit's due. Just going to read out a couple of comments before I wrap up the show. Joe Thomas, hope you well, Joe. Obviously, the member of the Voices of Vic with us. Sorry we couldn't get you on tonight, Joe. That's down to Mike. You can have words with him later. He says, I think the main thing to take away from Cleves coming in is we're playing attacking football. The energy is there. The passion is back. Everyone is enjoying football again. And most importantly, the players want to play for him. And I think Joe's absolutely spot on in that. Uncle Ron says, no need to decide on decide now on Cleverley. Initial tactics good, in-game subs sadly not. And I can agree on that. I do think the substitutions have maybe let us down a little bit, but also put it down to maybe us not having the squad depth. We haven't been able to replace players like for like, where we have done in previous years. And I think that's what's kind of let us down. And then Joe Thomas has also said, reminds me a bit of Adey coming in. He was the same, went back to basics, played direct football, but with a lot of attacking intent. And look what happened. I'll see you on the boat next season. HMS, piss for league. So I think we'll leave it on that one, Joe. But yeah, thank you everyone for watching tonight and getting involved in the comments. It does mean a lot to us and we do really appreciate it. If you have liked the video, hit that like button, make sure you hit that subscribe button as well. We're so close to 500.
Nine off now, Ben.
Brilliant. We always tend to pick up some subscribers off a match day vlog, which is brilliant. That's why we need to try and keep them going. Maybe we might try and do a home match day vlog. We'll try and get them up, so whoever's going to Preston, maybe we'll tap them up to see if they can do one. Katie, you going Saturday?
Yeah, I am.
there we go.
It's in your contract, you're doing the match day vlog against Preston. I would, but sadly I'm missing the game. Off to the O2 to watch Michael McIntyre, so hopefully that's the only comedy I'm going to see the day, and hopefully the boys can bring home 3 points against Preston North End. But yeah, thank you for watching tonight. I really do appreciate it. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and we'll probably be back Sunday evening to do a review of a Preston North End game. But we're also going to do a preview of the Preston North End game, I think Thursday, Mike?
Yeah, I'm off work tomorrow, so I'm going to try and speak to a Preston pod during the day. And then release it on Thursday. You said Thursday, yeah. Release it on Thursday. So it'll be available then.
Brilliant. Nice one. So, yeah, lots of content for you. And if anyone's off work tomorrow, I think Watford have got Kone and Ryan Andrews doing signings at the Hornet shop as well. I think between 2:30 and 3:30 maybe. Yeah. So, yeah, get down there if you're not doing anything really. I'm back to work tomorrow, so unfortunately I can't. But, yeah, we'll see you all soon. Come on, you Orns. Sports Social Podcast Network.